Welcome
Hey,
back,
Lisa. There.
everyone, to MX Asian American. Today we have Alex. You want to introduce yourself first?
Hey, listener. This is Alex. I'm the founder and the CEO of Yami. We are the largest Asian product and brands e-commerce in North America.
Thank you so much, Alex, for chatting with me today. We'll start off a little bit of about how you grew up. How was young Alex like? And all that.
I born and raised in China, mainland China. At a very young age, I was like, hope I can become a soccer player, right? I didn't do really well. At like elementary school, middle school, my full focus was on soccer. Practice every day, trying to become the next soccer star for China. Then just like between high school, I just thought of like maybe I should pursue the education versus the soccer career, because back at the time in China, you pretty much had to make a choice, right? If you could pursue a career in soccer, like you have to give up education. So just like one of the other. So I just like picked the education. So I went to Dalian University of Technology in China for 2 years. Then like I decided to study abroad, like eventually choose US. So I wasn't prepared to study abroad. Just like I had a lot of ideas, like spent 2 years in China, like in China's college, just like maybe I want to experience something else, something new, like try what it looks like to study abroad in another country. So this is just a sudden idea, but I'm kind of guy, if I had some ideas, I'll do it, right away. So I just started to prepare what I need for study abroad. For example, prepare like English tests. Look at all the schools like United States. What are the requirements, to apply? So I think I prepared for 6 months. Then I think 2007, I went to Kansas, to started my US college life. I don't know if Kansas, middle of nowhere, right? For entire like for almost 5 years, it was really inconvenient living in Kansas as a Chinese, as an Asian.
Yeah, like I'm curious, like what was there like specific reason why you chose the college in Kansas, or was that it had like something you really wanted to study there?
When I was in China, I studied electrical engineering, so double E. I definitely want to stay in like school of engineering. But I eventually switched my major to industrial engineering when I was in Kansas, because so there was one day I talked to my academic advisor, like I think during that time I have to choose an area to focus, like power. There's a bunch of different areas. So I talked to my academic advisors, like I want something, more not practical, but like I know what I'm doing, right? Was like all this area seems to me it's not very interesting. I really have the passion about business, but I will stay engineering. So what my choice is. And he told me, oh, if this is something you want, you should probably try industrial engineering. This is something, still engineering, but deal with a lot of like business problems, OR, right? So, operations. So that's why I switched from double E to industrial engineering. There's no specific reason, like why I choose Kansas, but I was still very young, so my parents actually have a big influence on me. It's like they don't want me to go to big cities. Mm-hmm. They want me to choose a college town, right? They don't want me to go to Los Angeles, New York, right? Chicago, mm-hmm. all these big cities. It's not very good for for students, especially international students. Mm-hmm. So I applied all the schools in the Middle East, right? Mm-hmm. College town, small college town. That's how I get into Kansas.
I see. So you mentioned it a little bit, but how was the transition from living in China and then being an international student, especially in Kansas? I'd imagine it would be really hard, right? There's no other Chinese people probably, or very little. How did you adapt to life?
At the beginning, that was pretty hard because everything, was different. Speak different language, different cultures, different food, right? You don't even have, friends, at the beginning, right? It's you suddenly become a minority versus majority, right? Mm-hmm. So everything was different. And I don't know, just switch from noodle to hamburger every day. I end up gaining 20 pounds in my first semester. Maybe I just not adapt really well to hot dog and the hamburgers. But I think, that was something blessing in disguise, because that experience actually, contributed a lot to why I start Yami, why mm-hmm. I have this business idea to bring Asian and, Chinese and Asian product to US. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. The life at the beginning was hard, but, it's actually a fortune, when you see this from a very, very long term.
Mm-hmm. So, because you didn't have kind of really immediate or easy access to Asian foods and groceries in the middle of nowhere, you had this idea of starting Yami. Could you tell us when was was there a catalyst to when you started this idea, or a moment where you were oh, I really need to do this, and this is really important to me?
Yeah, let's put it in this way. So when I was in Kansas, I definitely noticed there are demands, for Chinese Asian product, because mm-hmm. Give you some idea, the year I joined, I started in Kansas, there were only around 70 Chinese students. Mm-hmm. But 4 years later, the year I graduated, there were 400 Chinese students, Asian students coming to Kansas, Kansas State University every semester.
Wow.
Right? So Kansas is not it's a typical, American university. So this is literally happened to every US, college, right? There's more and more international students, Asian students, study abroad in US. So mm-hmm. The market actually growing, start growing, the demand get bigger and bigger, right? But when you look at supply side, there's no major e-commerce company doing Asian product, Asian brands for overseas, right? There was Amazon, eBay, but they were really focused on domestic market, mainstream product. If you try to find Asian products on it's really hard. So I definitely noticed the demand and noticed the opportunity when I was in Kansas, but I didn't start a company in Kansas. So after I graduate, I actually just touring around the US, trying to figure out what's next. I spent some time in New York, right? I didn't really like, not like New York, but I didn't really want to stay in New York because New York is like China, all the like buildings, like crowded.
Yeah.
Then I spent some time in Los Angeles. You know, I really love Los Angeles. So during the stay in Los Angeles, you know, I see all the like Asian populations, right? Even bigger Asian populations. And also all the Asian brick and mortar, you know, supermarket, restaurant, service, and it's like, if you live in Los Angeles as an Asian, you actually, you know, it's pretty convenient, right? So I recall my experience in Kansas. That's when I had this idea. It's like, maybe I can start a company or e-commerce to carry Chinese and Asian products, you know, to benefit people, you know, who immigrants or study abroad in the U.S. but do not have easy access to Asian products. That's how the company started.
So when you first started Yami, well, first of all, how did you come up with the name? And also, like, what were the beginning stages of the company like? What were some of like the struggles, some of the rewards?
Yeah, of course, you know, despite, you know, we have multiple locations, like global location today, you know, and raise like a multiple VC round, but at the beginning I actually bootstrap company, so just myself. I don't even have co-founder because I just thought this is just a business, not like a startup. You know, I can raise money, you know, based on this startup. So like, okay, they could be a pretty good business to work on. So pretty much at the beginning, just myself, I'm doing like pick, pack, you know, customer service, everything, right? You know, I think I hired my first employee like 3 months later after I started the company. So beginning, it was like hard. It was like physically hard, right? I think today is still hard. Like it's more mentally, right? How you run a company, a lot of issues you have to think about. But at the beginning, the physically was hard, right? Just like you got up around like 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, start to pick and pack. And in the middle day, you still squeeze some time to answer like customers' questions and then figure out like, you know, where I should like marketing, even I don't have any marketing budget, you know, what I should, right? Just like cold message, you know, all the students I know. So this is like a lot of like, you know, work, just like physically, it's hard. It's like pretty much like 6 a.m. to 12 a.m. job, right? So the name Yami. So at the beginning, it's like, first of all, I want to try like Yummy Bag, Y-U-M-M-Y, because, you know, at the beginning, we only sell snacks at the beginning. Right now, you know, we cover like all the category, but at the beginning, we only sell snacks. So I saw like Yummy, like it's something like I want to name my website, right? Y-U-M-M-Y. So it means tasty, right? But that domain name was taken. So I have twisted a little bit. Y-A-M-I in Chinese sounds like yummy. And also Y-A-Ya in Chinese also means Asia, right? Right? And M-I also could mean rice or meal, right? So that's how I came up with the name. But I feel very fortunate. You know, I didn't choose the name Y-U-M-M-Y because it's gonna be hard. You know, if your website like names Yummy, but you expand to other categories.
I love the wordplay and the pun that goes into the name. You start kind of building this e-commerce website, and then did you notice that there was a moment in time where it started taking off, like it started growing really big, or was it like more slow and like gradual kind of growth?
Yeah, I think for e-commerce, there's always like a certain period of time. It's like, you know, you have others, you have customers, but like you're growing like not very fast. Then suddenly, right, it's like the orders volume start to climb up, like, you know, tremendously. I think partly because, you know, we don't have any marketing budget at the beginning, so we have to rely on word of mouth, right? So when we have our initial customers, after they use our website, it's like, okay, this is actually a decent website, right? Carry a lot of like Asian product, Asian snacks we want. So they tell every one of my friends, their friend, like, until today, this is still the most like, you know, biggest and most efficient way for us to acquire customers. For example, like you purchase something from Yummy, and like you surprise, okay, you can actually buy this in America, right? So you just like post it on your social media. Look at what I purchased from Yummy. So each of their friend gonna ask, oh my god, like where are you purchasing? Like, you know, no, I purchased it from Yummy. So this is like free acquisition for us, right? It's until today, right? It's still the biggest channel for us to acquire customers. So this is also how we took off at the beginning. You know, good service, carry the red product, they rely on word of mouth.
Okay. And then I'm curious, I've asked a lot of like businesses about this, but of course COVID had different impacts on many different industries, but how did COVID impact Yummy? Positive, negative, or not really any change?
I think it's both, you know, a little bit both. Like at the beginning, of course, there are some like, you know, tailwinds because everybody stayed at home, you know, they place orders, you know, on e-commerce, they rely on e-commerce. But, you know, we don't deal with like fresh, perishable or restaurant delivery, right? So we don't have that kind of like tailwinds, like versus like fresh and restaurant delivery. So yes, there are some helps, you know, there was some helps during COVID, like, you know, especially during the period customers like stockpiling everything, right? They are panicked.
Yeah.
But later on, there were like more challenge. For example, there are supply chain challenges, right? A lot of my product imported from like Japan, Korea, China, they constantly shut down because of COVID. Like, you know, it's really hard to get inventory from all these countries for a very long period of time. And also, you know, short of labor, right? I think, you know, every business experience these issues during COVID, you know, because nobody want to go out and work, you know, expose themselves in the risk, right? And also the market become more like competition. You know, we are always the leaders, you know, dominate this space. But during COVID, like, you know, a lot of customers was like start looking for, oh, are there any, you know, other solutions and then Yummy, because, you know, I want to buy everything at home. So suddenly there are some like other competitors, you know, pick up some volumes as well. So there's more like competition becomes more brutal, like, in this space. So I'll say like a little bit both. You know, at the beginning, probably more like tailwind, but towards the end of COVID or middle of COVID, there's more like headwinds.
I see. So I saw like on the website that there is like a community section, and like incorporation, like you said, of like other categories of things that you guys sell that's like not just like home goods and things like that. Could you tell us a little bit about how, like, when you decided to, I guess, start expanding outside of the snack category and also like including this community section on the website?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, at the beginning we only sell like food and snacks, right? But all like I'll say this, like all my expansions, all the new initiatives is actually drive by our customer demand, right? So when we get bigger and bigger, a lot of my customers like actually message us, like, or call us, like, can you carry other things, like, other than snacks? Because I think every categories, like Asian product categories, are actually underserved here. Like, you know, for example, there's some, like, you know, girls, they want to buy Asian makeups, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There are some, like, moms, they want to buy Asian diapers, right? So there's like, oh, I want rice cookers, but I want to cook rice, you know, at home. So like later on, you feel, oh, they're actually not only food and snack. Maybe food and snacks are the biggest category, but there are every category is actually underserved. I got numerous like message. Our customer service got numerous message, just like feed us information is what they want here. So pretty much all my expansions, came from like customer demand, right? I think, you know, the community idea is also the same. So first of all, we want something like content, you know, not just like, you know, merchandise, you know, we want a place they can share the joy of their purchase experience, right? This is the first idea why we start a community. And second is like, when we carry more and more products, like from like maybe 100 SKUs to now, we carry over 300,000 SKUs on my website. Just like too many new stuff. A lot of customers just like, they don't have enough time to browse in every single one of them, right? Like we also, okay, why we start like a community? Let them post what they purchased from Yummy. So this is a new way to discover Yummy's sections. So, you know, they can say, oh, he or she purchased this. I don't even know Yummy carried this. This is good, you know? So this is also another reason why we also have a section called community.
Yeah, I love that. It sounds like a kind of the expansion was more organic, like the customers demanded this and stuff. And I love community sections of people like sharing what they bought and even like recipes they might like be using with these items. So heading up to the last question, are there any like present goals that Yummy's looking to achieve or like anything in the near future?
Yeah. So I think start like 2021, we feel, okay, Yummy or Asian product, Asian brands is not only for Asian, but also for everybody, right? We noticed more and more non-Asian customers started like to purchase Asian stuff, right? From Asian snacks to like, you know, cosmetics, beauties. I think mainly because Asian pop culture start have a like huge influence on the mainstream culture here, like Japanese manga, right? K-pop, K-drama. So there's always connection between culture and the product, right? So that's why I think like more and more non-Asian start shopping for Asian products. And also Asian food become like mainstream, right? At least like in like big city, coastal cities, eating some kind of like Asian cuisine become like a weekly dining option for most like American families, right? Yeah. Thai, Vietnamese, like Chinese, Korean, Japanese. So they start get used to Asian taste. Like, you know, to give you an example, if somebody really love like Japanese ramen, it's very organic for them to purchase like, you know, Japanese ramen on my website and just like cook at home. Like, so when we notice this, like we start to actively, you know, get our brand name into the non-Asian space. So it's actually growing super fast. Like, you know, we already have like millions of like Asian customers in the United States. But you know, non-Asian customer, we have like a lot bigger total addressable market here, right? So let's also serve our goal to expand the business. So this is pretty big, you know, initiatives for us. And also we feel like obligated to do this. Like, you know, we want to build a bridge, right? You know, for Asian, for Chinese, this is a bridge to their home, right? To their hometown, right? But for non-Asian, this is a bridge to understand another culture, to understand Asian culture through all these products.
Oh, I love that. And it's a really great point that you're making, that I have also seen the huge expansion of Asian culture in America, and like K-pop, K-drama, like you said. But yeah, I love the metaphor of the bridge that you're building for the American public. But thank you so much, Alex, for coming on the show and sharing your story with Yami. Where can listeners find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, you can reach me at my email, right? And you know, you can also browse our website, see all the selections, you know, yamibuy.com, and also can download our app. Right. So, yeah, I'm always open to listen to like all the new ideas.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you again, Alex, for coming on the show.
Thank you.